You know, Elway's just walking around the Broncos facility right now with this music in his head. And he keeps opening doors, and it's just the same problems over and over again. He opens this door. Tim Tebow. Ah! And then there's this door. Gary Kubiak, you're mad at me! Brock Osweiler's there. He opens another door. It's Peyton Manning, give me a hug! And then he goes...
Oh, Chad Kelly!
He goes to hug Peyton Manning, and he just, like, goes through him. Oh, you're not here. And he goes through, oh, John Fox, I miss you. I miss your smell. I miss your musk. I miss your cigar smoke in the office. Oh, man. Mike Shanahan, come back to me. And then Ellis is there. Oh, yeah, this is Twilight Zone. The same problems over and over again for this team. All right, so it's Top Text Tuesday. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Text in your theme songs that remind you of the Denver Broncos right now. And you brought, we were talking about The Walking Dead. That kind of feels like the case right now.
In terms of who's in charge and who's running this show, yeah.
Is it Rick? Is it Shane?
What's our budget look like?
I can't believe you're going to go through it again.
I have to.
Are you going to finish it?
I'm going to finish it.
Oh.
It's
a brave path.
It's been eating away
it's been eating at your brain
for a while.
Mm-hmm.
So I started this show. I jumped off towards the end. I need to go back and finish it.
I stopped. Spoiler alert. Okay, that gave you enough time. I stopped when Rick left. I was like, dude, they started the show with this guy.
And it didn't really make sense how he left. It was just like, yeah, he's kind of gone.
He's just gone.
Someone took him somewhere.
And they're going to make three movies is what I heard.
I think it's just one now.
Now they're making spinoffs, though, of this show. I heard there's going to be...
It never should have had a spinoff.
They're going to make another, because they did the other one. What was it?
Fear.
Fear of the Walking Dead. It was the same thing.
It was worse.
It was just zombies chasing people. Just different people.
With worse characters.
Then, now they're going to make a... I hear a rumor that they're going to make a spinoff of... with Negan and
Maggie,
who should hate each other and try to kill each other. But they're going to make a spinoff with those two. Daryl, I heard, is getting a spinoff. Like, in France. He's going to go to France. How's he going to get there?
With his bike.
He's just going to, like, go so fast that he just skids the ocean.
It's Daryl Dixon.
Yeah.
You can do whatever.
That's true. And I think I heard one more spinoff. Well, obviously, they're going to do the Rick thing.
It's a Rick and Michonne movie now.
Oh, good.
Everyone's favorite characters. Because everyone loved that relationship.
Oh, awkward. I didn't buy into it at all.
I remember, like, they first, like... hooked up on the show, and I was like, what?
There's no chemistry.
What's happening?
There's no chemistry.
This doesn't...
Doesn't make any sense.
You guys are friends. This isn't... No.
No. We can't.
He is never supposed to be with anyone else.
No, he can't.
Lori was everything for him.
Lori was it. That was it. So, that's what we're doing today. We're thinking of shows that... I mean, dude, this has changed a lot in the last 24 hours, hasn't it? I'm telling you guys, whenever Greg Penner... sat there after they fired Nathaniel Hackett, and George Payton was next to Greg, and George looked like a beaten pup, I thought to myself right then and there, oh, crap. This situation's about to get worse. George hired Hackett, so you're saying you can't hire anymore. You're not good at it. So I'll take the reins. And then you're screwing this up. George, you get to do the tours, though. You can give interviews, or you can do tours before the interviews.
Just make sure you wear your name tag.
Wear your name tag. Lead them up to my office. Have them sit there. Bring them some coffee if they're thirsty, if they need anything. And then go back to work. What should I be working on? Do some work.
Spreadsheets.
Yeah. Just do something, George. You can't just sit there all day. You got to go do something. This is feeling like The Office. Seinfeld, Curb Your Enthusiasm, all those shows that just have awkwardness happening. This is it. First Advance text line, 888-530-0043. Our poll question today, a little Nuggets related. Would you trade Bones Highland? And you're a big Bones Highland fan, Angel, but you surprised me a little yesterday with your, not willingness, but somewhat okayness with being, you know, moving on from Bones Highland.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. If they make a move for, you know, an Oz Reed or somebody else like that, I understand why they would be doing it. But he has become such a fan favorite, and so just his personality is so just inviting. And you're like, I want to follow this guy. I want to watch this guy play because he's so just fun to watch. But when he has, you know, struggles on the court, it's very noticeable, especially when you've seen the highs of him.
Uh-huh.
When he gets low, it stays low.
And now now I'm starting to wonder if he's a little bit of drama because of the other night. He left. He was having a bad game. He left, goes to the locker room, never comes back out.
It was reported he had a finger injury. And then he was held out from shoot-around yesterday.
So maybe it's a finger injury. That's what it is. It just seemed weird. I don't know.
It's the second time he's done that, where he's got hurt, went to the locker room, he doesn't come back.
Even come back. I like Bones, trust me. But a guy that created the catchphrase on day one, which we all love, Mile High City, baby, you still kind of go, all right, this guy's high octane. He is like really entertaining. Fans are going to love this guy. But sometimes those guys also can be liable of going a little too overboard the other way. Sometimes too. Now, again, do I think that there's a big issue brewing between the coaching staff and Bones Highland? I'm not ready to go there yet. There's something, though, that seems a little awkward.
I think the coaching staff sees his potential and what he could be and what kind of role he could have. I don't think they see him as a bench player. I think they see him as being in that starting five, and I'd imagine they've had talks with him. There was that point where he had a slump earlier this year. Malone kind of sat him down, talked to him, and he started to pick it up a little bit. I think Malone wants him to be a starter. You see the potential for it. He's just not reaching that level yet consistently.
Here's a question for you. There always used to be this rumor or this idea that Malone doesn't really like rookies, although Christian Brown's a little different. Michael Porter Jr. took forever for Malone to really start giving meaningful minutes. Bones Highland had to last year out of necessity. Is Malone good with rookies? Is he bad with rookies?
I won't say bad. I think he is unsure about them. Because I know he likes Christian Brown, but even there's moments where Christian Brown doesn't see the court.
Right. You'll go from, whoa, Christian Brown. I shouldn't say rookies. I should say young players, because Bones obviously is in his second year. I'm starting to wonder, and maybe this is a good thing in the long run, because Michael Porter Jr. is becoming a better player. Maybe Michael Malone pushes and coaches hard on these young guys and coaches them so hard that they can't really take it. Bull Bull even said it. I should have worked harder there. Maybe Malone demands so much of his young guys, and most of them can't take it because it's a different thing. And so they kind of falter a little bit in their rookie years and second years. Or they get better, and maybe they get better in their third or fourth. So if the Nuggets can weather the storm here with Bones and ultimately decide not to trade him, maybe he's going to turn out to be a much better player. And he's a fine player. He's inconsistent, though.
Well, the truth is with Bones, it's not he's up for trade because he's bad. It's he's the only player you could trade.
The only one that has any real value that makes sense for you to trade.
That's not going to completely tear apart what you have.
Right, because you're not – starters are safe. You're not moving on. This isn't a Will Barton type situation like last year. KCP and Bruce Brown are so important to your team. Aaron Gordon, Jamal Murray, MPJ, so important to your team. Christian Brown is a building block for the next few years. I believe that he's going to be a decent player in this league. I think he's going to be better than Bones. Zeke, does he have any real value? Does he have enough value to get a guy to get a guy like Naz Reid, who would be a very big boost for this team off the bench? Tim Connelly knows these guys better than anybody. He's not going to trade Naz Reid straight up for a Zeke Nagy type guy. It's not going to happen.
It's a question of, do you trade away a future prospect for a guy that you're probably going to have for 5 months?
Yeah, and a guy that's
only
going
to
play...
And then you have to have conversation about extending him.
Yeah, and a guy that's only going to play, whenever Joker goes out, that guy's in to hopefully stop any kind of bleeding.
But down the stretch, Jokic is going to be playing close to 40 minutes.
Right. In the playoffs, the minutes change up. They're way different than what we see in the regular season. You know, you might see him sit out 3 minutes of the second quarter, but then come back in instead of halfway through the second. You're going to see different styles there. And this is it. Even though the Nuggets, save for the other night, have played pretty well without the Joker, you can't risk that. Because I think in the playoffs, teams are going to find, you know, teams will adjust. And they're not going to, well, if you don't have your best player on the floor for whatever reason, they're going to play much better against Denver. And I think now you're looking at it going, what is more important to us in the playoffs? Bones Highland, who's could give you greatness one night, and he could give you absolute awfulness the next. Or do we just want a stable backup center that can help keep the, you know, keep things at bay while Joker grabs a drink of water?
You're trading off the scoring ability when Jokic is off the floor because the offense lacks when he's not there, so you bring in a Bones to kind of supplement that. Do you trade that for, okay, let's give up some, let's, you know, not score as much, but we're not going to give up as many points because our defense is better with an actual center in our bench.
It's wild. So that's our poll question today. Would you trade Bones Highland? Go vote at thewholeshow.com. I'd love to see where you guys are on this one. 69% of the hooligans saying yes, they are comfortable trading Bones Highland. All right, there you go. Go vote at thewholeshow.com. 17 minutes after the hour, we'll talk a little Colorado State Rams coming up next with Mr. Mike Brohard. Also coming up later on, Brendan Vogt. Let's talk to Brendan. He's our Nuggets insider with DNVR Nuggets, and we'll get his thoughts on Bones Highland and, you know, this team going forward, because it's one loss out of 10 or whatever, and we're having conversations.
Brady, the season's over.
I'm just thinking of how do you set yourself up in the best position to make sure you win a playoff game or a playoff series and to get to the Western Conference Finals. Are you better off with a backup center that's decent, or are you better off with Bones Highland leading the bench? All interesting questions. All right, short break coming up. This is The Whole Show powered by PDC Energy. Mike Brohard talking Colorado State with us next. Don't go anywhere. It's Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
It's time to put on makeup. It's time to dress up right. It's time to raise the curtain on the Muppet Show tonight.
KFKA is your no-go home of the Denver Broncos. Hear games and news around the team on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Nico Medved, the men's basketball coach of the Colorado State Rams, and you're listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
Yeah, that's good. You just see all these little awkward, you know, Greg Penner turns to the camera. George Payton, hey, I'm here. And there's Elway. Oh, yeah, that's a good theme song, Full House. It is Full House. It's way too full. You need one person making all these decisions. All right, we'll talk more about that. Mike Brohard, were you a big Full House guy? Did you like Full House back in the day, Mike?
I remember the show. Yeah, Uncle Jesse, yeah, you bet. Let's go.
Uncle Jesse, Michelle was always getting into crazy stuff, man. I mean, that was a smart show.
Yeah, it was before Lori Loughlin was trying to illegally get her kids into college. Yeah.
Right. I mean, the least suspected person, because they were all perfect with Full House. Mike Brohard joining us from CSURams.com. Mike, Isaiah Stevens got the record. That was great. But unfortunately, too little too late, at least against Wyoming. They dropped one, 58-57. That was a bummer. That was a bummer. I thought they were going to complete that comeback, man.
Yeah, and it's just been a tough skid. They're playing better, but they haven't seen the results that they would want. I mean, in the last four games, you know, three overtime right down the wire with Wyoming, and you're 1-3 in those games. But so on the one side, you're looking at it and you're going, yeah, they're playing better. Things are improving, but you still would like to see some of those turn out in wins.
Well, now you're going on the road with not till Saturday. Is that right, Mike? Going up against Boise State. That's a pretty good basketball team right there.
Yeah, this is one of the 2 weeks where they play one game and it'll go up. But the thing is, you know, they've got 4 days for the Rams to work on the Rams. and True. Clean up some things that they would like to clean up before they go into that game. That game will mark the halfway point. You know, they'll finally finish the first half of conference play. If you can go up there and still win against a Boise State team. And, I mean, the whole thing is I don't go into games expecting things to happen anymore in the Mountain West because too many wild results have happened.
Oh, you're right. I was watching the Boise State New Mexico game the other night. That was just absolutely crazy. There was extra stuff going on in that one. That was a crazy game, Mike. And you're right. The Mountain West Conference, you just never know what's going to happen.
No, I mean, you look at it. I mean, New Mexico came out of the gate storming. They're undefeated. They're ranked. And now they got three conference losses. So yeah. I think the best thing to say is, you know, go figure.
Exactly. And I mean, and the other thing for CSU, too, is, you know, like you said, they're playing better basketball. They were, obviously, with San Diego State. That was a heck of a game. Thought they might end up winning that one. They beat UNLV. They have UNLV coming up down the road, too. So the Rams, it feels like they're right there. But like you said to start the segment, they just haven't been able to get over that hump and complete some of these games.
Right. And that's what I talked to Nico and a couple of the players about for today's story was they do see an improvement. They're disappointed, obviously, with the results, but you got to brush aside the disappointment and look at the positives that they're seeing. And when you look at it, the teams had to go through so many changes this year. And Nico brings up a really good point. So, like, when the season begins and you have your roster as you see it, you set what you think, you know, your goal as a coaching staff is to get that team to reach its ceiling. Well, that team no longer exists, and now you're to a point where you've got 9 scholarship players. This is your rotation. This is what you know you're going to go with. So the goal is now, and what he said, their charge is to get this team to maximize its potential and be the best team it can be by the time the Mountain West tournament rolls around, and they've got games to do that. And they're starting to feel better about some things. And players talked about, you know your role. You know what the expectations are for you night in, night out on the offense and defensive side. And I think they can start getting some chemistry, some camaraderie, you know, cohesion forming on the court that you can start to see better night after night.
Mike Brohard joining us from CSURams.com. Check that piece out, Seeing Signs in a Season of Adjustments, available at CSURams.com. Now, in that piece, you're kind of talking about, Mike, what this coaching staff kind of has had to do on the fly, too, because they had a plan at the beginning of the season, obviously with injuries and such, that some of that went out the window. So this coaching staff's trying to piece it together, as you said, and really just get the best out of these guys at this stage.
Right, and so I think some of the difficulty of part of the early things was some of the early injuries were like, okay, the guy's going to come back. So you don't discount that as part of your plan coming up, but you have a plan for a set amount of time. And so you're dealing with some of those things, and now you know who's going to be available, and you know that the guys that are out are going to be out. Nobody's coming back. This is not going to be adjusted. You cross your fingers, like I said, cross your fingers, knock on wood, grab a rabbit's foot, and you hope that nobody else gets hurt and adjust that plan again. And you move your way through the Mountain West Conference regular season, set yourself up for what you can do in the conference tournament. It's just been a lot of adjustment on the fly.
Well, the good news is like you said, with this conference, I mean, we could see some crazy things happen where maybe a team like Colorado State that hasn't been a world beater could pull off some crazy stuff, could pull off some upsets and win a few straight games there to, who knows, maybe win that tournament, punch another ticket to the big dance.
Yeah, stranger things have been known to happen. I mean, last year we saw in the NCAA tournament, you know, a team that had a losing record was in the field. So if you get hot at the right time, anything can happen.
What about, let's go over to the women's side of things, too. Man, another great game over the weekend for CSU against UNLV, but the Rebels were able to pull that one out. What did you see in that game, Mike?
Well, you saw Essence Booker hit some big shots. You saw CSU do a really good job defensively on a high-powered, really good offensive UNLV team. So if you hold that team to 63 points, you're actually thinking you should come out and win that game. So they've had 2 tough losses to UNLV. UNLV is a standard bearer right now. They're the defending champs. They're going to go in the number one seed. But Colorado State also goes in feeling like we can beat them. So now you go back. You got to go down to Albuquerque, which is a tough play to play, not just in men but in women. They really support that team. And that's another guard-centric game, and it's another matchup. And it was It was a great start that CSU had at home against New Mexico to put that game away really kind of early and play with a pretty good lead all game. Can they do it again? So, yeah, it's just it's a fun team to watch, and they're they're chasing some pretty big dreams. They would like to reach that championship game once again. Last year was a surprise. This year it wouldn't be, and this year they would like to surprise, though, and beat UNLV on their own floor.
Maybe it's setting up that way. You know, you lost the two close games in the regular season. You pull up maybe third time's a charm. If they can get to that point, maybe they can knock off UNLV when it matters the most.
Yeah, yeah, that's exactly what they're doing. And it's the team that's playing well. I mean, you need your guards to continue playing the way they have been. You know, Crocker and Thurman and Hofschild, you need that. But you also would like to see, like, Callie Clark really is emerging as one of the top rebounders in the league. She could add a little bit more on the offensive end. You'd like to see some more out of the post combination of her and Jazz, but, Joe Voss, and we'll see how that works. Sydney Mack is a really good defender. She can even add some to, the offensive side. And then you look at somebody like a Megan Boyd who can get streaky and can get a hot hand in any game from behind the arc. And they have some options. They've been relying on the guards, but there's some other people that could actually take some of the pressure off those three guards.
Mike Brohard, CSURams.com. Mike, I know teams do this all over the country, with their open tryouts and stuff, but that's kind of the news with CSU football anyway. How likely is it that a guy walks on and makes that team?
It's never likely. It was funny. I find it funny that you bring this up because I saw a couple of our fans are just like throwing a fit. And
I saw that too.
And why are you jumping in on this, Brady? Let me remind people, when Jim McElwain showed up his first year, he did the same exact thing. And the reason is, let's take you back to last year. How many players transferred out? You need bodies in the spring.
Yeah.
So whether or not they're going to make the team or not, but there's a chance. You know, they're encouraging people, hey, they've actually had people make the team and go on and play in the NFL. Good for them. Now, you need bodies, though, to force spot. And do things like that during spring football. And CSU is short on bodies. McElwain did the same thing so that they could run practice efficiently. And it could be fun for some of these people, and you never know. You might find somebody who's got some game and can help, be it on special teams. Maybe they push. Who knows? But this is not unusual in college football, so I don't know why people are – running around like Chicken Little.
No, I mean, it's all over. You do see it. It's, I think somebody retweeted. I think I know the tweet conversation.
Brady, this is my advice to you on Twitter.
Yeah.
There's certain things that you look at and you go, yeah, I should ignore that.
No, but I just wanted to ask how likely it was that somebody could make, like, that would be a really cool story if somebody makes it and is actually pretty good.
You know, it's never an impossibility. I mean, it's highly unlikely you're going to die because of a caterpillar, but the odds aren't zero, right?
That's very good. Mike, favorite TV theme song. What do you got? What's your favorite one?
I'm going old school. You can't beat the Beverly Hillbillies.
I don't even remember how that song goes. Angel, find it. I don't even remember how that song goes, Mike. Are you going to sing it?
It's a great little tune. And no, wait a minute, Brady. Your show's pretty popular, right?
Yeah, I don't know.
You like to keep your listeners? You like to keep your listeners? But you don't want me singing.
They might be into it.
No, I'll tell you what, and my daughters will tell you this, to calm them on the changing table when they were infants, I would sing that song to them.
Would you really?
And my it's pretty close between Beverly Hillbillies, and then you got to go back to the Monkees. Their theme song,
yeah,
top notch. I mean, a professional band doing it.
Yeah.
So those two are going to be tops of my book of all time. And then don't forget Bosom Buddies, because it was a Billy Joel song. My life.
Okay,
Bosom Buddies was the start of Tom Hanks.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. We're getting some interesting ones today. Mike, my man, appreciate you as always. Love what you do, and we'll catch up with you soon.
All right, thanks, sir.
All right, man. Mike Brohard, CSURams.com. I had to ask. The tryouts thing just looks funny to me. So Angel, somebody tweeted, and I think it's a Rams fan, tweeted, CU's out here getting five-star recruits, and CSU's putting out open tryouts. And that guy got roasted, and he's like, dude, I'm just joking. I know everybody does it. I'm just saying, it seems kind of funny because CU's not tweeting about open tryouts. CSU is.
Tweeting about everything else, though.
Are you Are you experiencing primetime fatigue?
Absolutely.
You are?
Yeah. I saw a video earlier, like in between shows, and there's like some players working out in their like workout area, and Deion comes in, and he's this big puffer black jacket, and he stops this guy deadlifting. He's like, whoa, 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 you're wearing the wrong socks. He was wearing white socks.
What's
wrong
with
that?
They
stopped the entire workout.
So you had to wear black socks?
You can wear black socks. Everyone has to look the same. Everyone's on the same team.
And again, are you really signing? Do you know that you're signing up for that? I know you think you're signing up for that, but do you know you're signing up for that?
And it just feels like, okay, if the camera wasn't on, would he have done that? He
might
have.
Maybe.
But the camera's on, so we don't know if he wouldn't have. Is he just doing this because of the cameras, or is this actually how he's running the program there?
I've never seen anything like this. This is either going to be really good or really bad, right? It can't be in the middle.
There's another video. He brought two athletic trainers from Jackson State, and he's like showing them around the stadium. Like, do we need a video for that? We get it. You're at the stadium. You love it. It's snowing. It looks great. It's awesome. It's January, dude.
Like, I like videos where they're kind of owning where they are. I mean, I actually, Adazio did, it was when COVID hit, and the coaches all had to go home and be where they were. They remade a song. What the hell was it? I don't know what it was, but they remade the song and they sang it. Basically, they were missing Colorado State. And I kind of, it was terrible, awful singing, but I kind of liked it because fans are going, oh, they miss Colorado State. They miss it. So I kind of like that stuff. But as far as yelling at a kid for not wearing the right socks and then putting that in your video,
like, when you see like an NFL team post a video of like the guys in the locker room and they're interviewing each other, it's fun because you don't normally see that side of those players. You don't see what they're actually doing when they're not on the practice field. When you're seeing everything that they're doing, there's no room for imagination in that. What could they be doing? Are they being secretive about their play calling or their scheme or whatever? I don't know. I've seen everything that they're doing.
Yeah.
It's taking away that shine a little by little. Because it's just, maybe. Oh, here's another Deion video. Here's another recruit. Here's another, like, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm in the fatigue mode yet.
But it's starting to create a division of just casual people. Like,
yeah.
I love all the videos. Other people are, I'm tired of it.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't like the Punky Brewster or whatever guy. But it's a show. Brewster? Is it Brewster?
Punky Brewster.
Punky Brewster, whatever. I didn't like that. I thought about it, Angel, and I've gone back and forth. I've decided, it has been decided today, that I don't like it. I didn't like it. I didn't like that it was filmed. I had a coach in high school who I love and respect to this day, would yell at us so hard, spit would come out of his mouth, and he would just be like, go run till I get tired. He would do that. It's like, dude, you're never going to get tired. You're standing there. That stuff was, that was just probably necessary. Got us thinking, got us engaged. I had a football coach on the other side that was like, he wasn't mean, but he wasn't nice, but he didn't, none of his stuff had substance to it. Like, he'd just yell randomly, and so no one respected it. But my basketball coach, on the other hand, was a drill sergeant in a good way. I think there's a place for that kind of coaching. I just was like, get up, sit your back down. When I say we ready, you say, or we coming, you say it. I just didn't like it. I didn't like that it was filmed, maybe. Because if it wasn't filmed, we wouldn't even be talking about it. And then you just have players say, yeah, these coaches mean business, man. They're hard on us. But now you sign up to play there, and I think Mark Johnson is 100% right. You sign up to play there. If I'm competing against you, if I'm recruiting against you, if I'm Washington and these other Pac-12 schools, then I'm going, is this what you want? I'll be hard on your boy. Yeah, we'll give him a great they'll give him a great education, and we're going to push him to be the best he can be, and we'll get after him. But I'm not going to embarrass him and put this on freaking video and embarrass him for wearing a hat. I might tell him to take the hat off, but I'm not going to embarrass him. I'm not going to embarrass him while he's lifting weights because he wore the wrong socks. But I'm going to tell him maybe that's something we do. We want to wear the same stuff. Okay, fine, but do we got to embarrass these kids? Like, when do you cross the line to you're being hard on them, you're being tough on them, but you're also embarrassing them? And that's where, if I'm signing up, do you really know what you're signing up for? I love the hire. I'm not knocking it. And I'm a huge fan of primetime. Huge fan. guy is highly entertaining, Hall of Famer, amazing at what he does. I'm just saying, do we want to film you always ripping at these guys? I don't know. It's just interesting. He said, Chris, please give us an alert prior to dwelling into Coach Sanders talk. Whoa, does that mean you don't want to talk about Sanders? Is everybody in... You're so fatigued. You're so filled with fatigue right now.
You should message the CSU PR team and say, "Hey, we need videos of whatever you're doing.
Yeah,
just film it if you're doing something."
It's just weird. It's just getting weird. 40 minutes after the hour. Angel, let's jump out real quick and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
This is Chris Abshire, Fort Collins, Colorado, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Friends, huh? Yeah. This is a Jiro Evero song to Nathaniel Hackett. I ain't taking the job. I will be there for you, Nathaniel.
Is Evero staying as DC?
I don't know. Why not just hire him as a head coach?
He says he wants to be a head coach.
Stevens just tweeted out that Pelissero is saying don't forget about D'Amico Ryans. That he could be the sleeper in all this. He could be the guy. You want to go that route? The new coach again, no experience?
And you couldn't have an interview until after Sunday.
Well, the rate they're going, they're not going to get a head coach until after Sunday anyway.
His third interview would be late February.
Oh, man. This is just getting to be absolutely crazy. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. As we press on with this, I mean, there's updates all the time now about Sean Payton and everything. And, you know, him not being the guy. Zach just posted this 54 minutes ago. The Broncos couldn't hold a second interview with D'Amico until after the championship. So you were 100% right, Angel. I mean, I'm just looking at all the tweets in the last 24 hours. Things have gone fairly south for Denver, as far as the coaching search here. Yeah, Tom Pelissero said, don't count out D'Amico Ryans as the next head coach. And then here's what we heard from Colin Cowherd. I have been told, here it is, quote, I have been told the Broncos have made a decision. They want Sean Payton. Is that, what does that mean? They've made a decision? They want Sean Payton? That's not...
Doesn't sound like it.
It's not really a decision. That's weird to me. Anyway.
But we don't even know, is that Penner? Is that some other person on the group? We don't know what they want.
He said Russell Wilson has told the Broncos owners he wants Sean Payton. Do they care what Russell Wilson says? He's on borrowed time.
If it's not Sean Payton, does Russ throw a fit?
I just think that all this stuff getting out there, which is Sean Payton's fault, by the way, because he's telling Cowherd this. All this stuff getting out there is bad. It looks bad. The optics of it look bad if you don't end up landing Sean Payton.
Trying to get a better deal, and these other teams aren't doing it.
Yeah.
They're looking elsewhere.
And now you're gonna have to go back to a Dan Quinn type. You're going to have to go to one of those guys knowing they know that you wanted Sean Payton and that Russell Wilson wanted Sean Payton. I got to coach this guy. So does he not want me? Because he didn't call me.
Is Quinn a possibility? At this point?
He still is, but if I'm Arizona, maybe I'm not letting him out. That guy, you can do that with. You don't have to trade anybody to get him. You could get him now, today. But if I'm Dan Quinn, and let's say I do take the Broncos job. Hey, Russ, come into my office. Why didn't you call me? You called Sean. Why didn't you call me? Well, now you're in my world.
And if he doesn't get the coach he wants, is he making calls for OC? Or quarterback's coach, which those are important.
Just
yes.
Another clunky thing.
But your quarterback is making those decisions, not your GM, not your owners.
Who's making what? Who's calling who? Russell feels like he's got more power than George Payton now. he's calling him. Did George get to call him and do a one-on-one conversation with Sean Payton? I doubt it. Cowherd finished with, I think the deal would be done today if Sean Payton said, all right, I'm your guy, and he may. He's basically saying that the Broncos have made a decision. They want Sean Payton, but doesn't sound like Sean Payton wants them. Sean Payton wants the ownership of the Broncos. 49 minutes after the hour, we'll take a quick break. We'll wrap up hour number two. Brendan Vogt going to join me in the third and final hour. We'll talk more Nuggets basketball and who's healthy, who's playing tonight. We'll find out. Brendan will talk to us next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
The UNC Bears play on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Warren Jackson, former CSU wide receiver, current NFL wide receiver for the Los Angeles Rams, and you're listening to the whole show on KFK.
That's a show. Everybody loves it. And they love Raymond, too. I love this show, dude. It is so good. It is an amazing show. You never know what Deborah's gonna have Ray do. You just never know. And then his parents are in the house sometimes. It's chaos.
I've never seen it.
Oh, Angel. You are missing out, my friend.
Frank. I was missing out on Seinfeld, too.
Oh, no, this... everyone loves it. I go watch that anytime. Anytime. If it's on, I'm watching it. It's that good. Kind of under the radar compared to Friends and Seinfeld, I think. But I think in its heyday, it had a lot of viewers.
Late 90s, early 2000s.
Yeah. I was watching Friends the other day. Chandler's trying to get Joey a job or whatever, like an acting job, and he knew this girl that could help him because she's directing this movie, but he dated her in high school, so it was awkward, and they go out on a couple of dates, even though he's with Monica, but they go to the coffee shop every time, and they're just drinking these big cups of coffee. I'm like, nobody goes and drinks alcohol in this show. They always just go to the coffee shop.
They always talk about drinking.
Yeah, but they never really do. They're always drinking coffee.
And they're never at work either.
Ever.
They're like, it's 2:30 in the afternoon. What are you doing here?
Why are you guys always here? And you're always sitting in the couch. Like, what happens if somebody's sitting in their spot? They take up, there's six of them.
I think everyone that goes there knows that they don't sit on that
don't
couch.
Don't sit on that. That's where the camera is.
Some crazy dude's going to run in here with a chicken on his head. Just don't sit there.
Oh, man. So, Friends and, yeah, everybody loves Raymond. I can't really do the sitcom thing anymore. Any new ones? The latest one I think I watched, Big Bang Theory, Modern Family. Modern Family's good. That's a really good one. But I haven't really got into any of the newer stuff now.
You checked out That 90s Show?
No. Any good?
I've heard some good things about it. I wasn't a big fan. I didn't watch a lot of That 70s Show.
I liked it.
I watched enough to understand it.
I didn't watch it like religiously. Like, oh, it's no Everybody Loves Raymond. I mean, but it's good. But the dude that played Hyde, you know, like he's in trouble. He can't be in it.
Trouble.
Yeah, he's in big trouble.
They got everyone else but him.
Yeah, to come back for the reboot. Then of course that show got bad, Angel, because they all left. They all started leaving. And when shows start doing that, like The Office, you just know it's bad. It's going to get bad really soon. Because Eric, he's the main character, and then he leaves. And then Ashton Kutcher, he leaves. So it's just Donna and, yeah, just you can't do that, man. You got to have the full cast there. Texter here, Everybody Loves Raymond has ran for so long because it was safe comedy. It was the Andy Griffith Show of the 90s.
Now, Andy Griffith is a good show.
Yeah,
I watch that.
My
wife
granddad. Loves Andy Griffith.
Like I just put that on for my granddad. And we'll sit there and watch it for hours.
Yep.
And it still holds up.
My wife, my dad, like Gunsmoke. That's a TV show. Like he always watches Gunsmoke. Andy Griffith, yeah. Everybody, what are you talking about? Safe. Seinfeld. Oh, Seinfeld. That's real edgy comedy. That's real edgy comedy.
Is.
Not really.
The delivery of it is just
I can't get soup at the kitchen.
George. What do you mean your coat doesn't fit?
And that's the episode.
It was on sale, George.
12:57 the time. I don't know. I don't really hate Seinfeld. Our friend Michael here loves it, so I like to give him crap about it. So I've in turn become a Seinfeld hater. Theme songs that fit the Broncos. Shoot us a text. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. We'll be right back. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.